You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, in the past 20 years, computer network technologies have undergone important advancement and changes. Now, the networking of computers has resulted in several innovative advancements in computing technologies, including distributed computing and cloud computing. Now, what is this all about? If you're sitting here and you're like me, you're like, yo, what are all these things about? And it sounds very, very complicated. Well, we've got our chief IT here at SID to help us with this one. Good evening, my leader.
Good evening. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. And how are you?
No, I can't complain. Busy, but busy good.
Busy is good. I always say that on this show, we believe that people who are busy, they are making money. So, my leader, are you making money? So, if you are busy, we take
well,
it, yeah.
If you call making money for the Lord, making money, yeah, I am.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a privilege, isn't it, to work for the Lord? I mean, we sit here at AWR every day, and it's a privilege. I don't think our listeners just appreciate how much of a blessing this is, eh?
No, it is really a blessing, that I can tell you.
Yeah, it certainly is a blessing. Yeah. We're not going to keep you too long. We're just trying to understand this thing called cloud computing versus distributed computing. And it's because every Tuesday right here on the show, we do this thing called technology as we try and understand the advancements, the changes that are happening and how they affect, each and every one of us, particularly as individuals, but also as business people as well in the Adventist Church. How do we respond to such things? And so we really appreciate your time and joining us this evening. Can you please dissect for us the difference between the two, cloud computing and distributed computing?
All right. So the two are very closely related.
Okay.
They both involve the utilization of multiple computers.
Oh.
So that's the base of both of them. But I guess distributed computing refers to when the computers are interconnected.
Okay.
And they are used to solve a single problem. So a good example of a distributed computing would be, for instance, at SID Media, we could have five or six Apple Mac Pros, which we can say when it's time to render something, we say, okay, you five machines, here is a piece of work that you need to do, distribute it among yourselves, solve it, render each one of you, render a piece of that, and then send it back as a complete thing. So basically you are distributing a big workload among computers that are interconnected, and then this basically then results in a distributed. The distribution of the task is basically what defines that part of things. And then on the cloud computing side, we are referring to more of services now. So a good example is Office 365, which we kind of are quite used to. These are farms of computers that basically offer services. So in computers, we have things that are called, for instance, infrastructure as a service, where instead of you owning something, you go into this cloud or this service, you open a web page, you say, I want to build a server, and you know they do all of that for you in the background using scripts and everything.
Yeah.
And then you use that to then run your applications and so on. So I think the main distinguishing difference here is that distributed computing is machines that are distributing, a task. And then on the cloud computing side, it's a service that is offered to end users like you and me, who basically utilize it for different things. So we have things like infrastructure as a service, we have a platform as a service, so things like Google App Engine and Microsoft Azure. All of those are kind of application as a service. And then we also have something else that's also called software as a service, where now we are now using things like Microsoft Office 365, which is quite commonly used and widely used, and that is more of a service. So those are the kind of the different models. So it's just the different types of modeling of how the computers are basically being used to to run different tasks. Yeah.
Sure. That still is very complicated, my leader, I must tell you. So I'm gonna try and process it in my little mind and use an example. So I'm sitting with at least three computers here. All right. Okay. As I broadcast mm-hmm. to you. And in my mind, they're all doing three different tasks because you've got this one, which runs the system, right, where we use it for playing songs and everything. And then we've got another one that looks at social media calls and all those sort of stuff. And then we've got another one here, they call it streaming. Yeah, something called streaming. Mm-hmm. So I suppose they've distributed the broadcasting of this particular show. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's closer to it. So it's we have a task to broadcast.
Yeah.
So it's now divided among these three machines that are basically connected to each other, and they are kind of running that broadcasting service as a distributed task. So that kind of loosely fits into the definition.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, it's quite interesting when you think about it, because all of these things, I've always said, all of these things kind of work like the body, right?
Yeah.
We have hands that do something, but they're all part of one body, and we have different, so you could have different machines doing different things, but the goal being to achieve a certain task.
Yeah.
So that would be kind of a distributed kind of approach to computing. Yeah.
I hear you. Like I said, my mind is too small for these complicated things around how these things work and all that. But what are the objectives? Yeah. I'm sure as complicated as this is, or as easy as this, there are some objectives and benefits associated with particularly distributed computing. What are we trying to achieve here?
Right. So normally the easiest one, I think, which would be easy for us to kind of understand is if I have one laptop and I ask it to basically render a video or cook a video that I've edited so that's the final thing, it would take a bit of time. But if I cut the project into different segments and give it to multiple computers, that way it could be done quite fast. So that is one way. That's one way of looking at it. So speed is one advantage of distribution, and then scalability. It means that we are able to increase more computers to do the same job, and then cut down the time. So scalability is the ability to grow fast, in simple terms. And then we also, when we do this the distributed computing, we are also aiming at fault tolerance. That means if one of them fails, the likelihood of the whole thing failing kind of reduces. So that really helps a lot as far as that is concerned. And then, of course, sharing of resources is another one.
Yeah.
We realize that once we have a group of machines working together, we can share things, even things like power. Once it's in one location, they can then utilize that one source of power and, you know, get some benefits from sharing of resources. So there are quite a few advantages, objectives and benefits of distributed computing. So those are some of the, I think, I'm trying to try and not overcomplicate it.
Yes.
And but things like performance, I mean speed. Once you give, if you go to a bank and there's one teller and there are 50 people, it would take that one teller a long time to serve everyone.
Yeah.
But if we have four tellers and we have the same number of people, we'll be out of there quickly because the queue keeps moving faster.
Yeah.
So those kind of things are things that would compare to distributed computing because of the performance side of things.
As you say that, because I'm more trained in money, finance, economics, investment, I'm thinking of it from what they call diversification, where you don't put all your eggs in one basket. So that if things go south in one investment,
in one.
You know, you still can find some sort of value in others that can, offset the downward trend of the other stocks. That's me now thinking about it in my simple terms.
Definitely. But what I like about most of the things we human beings do, they are very, the concepts are applicable to different scenarios. And it's almost the same thing. The idea is the same.
Yeah.
How it's applied and where it's applied can differ.
Okay. Here's a question that came through, my leader. Is it feasible to use cloud computing for home or personal use? What scenarios would benefit me outside cloud storage? Hey, that you see, this person knows these things. You can tell from the question.
That one's a very good one.
Yeah.
So I always compare cloud computing to a person who has an external hard drive.
Yeah.
If you save your files on an external hard drive,
yeah,
that's a good idea. It's a good backup. But
yeah,
if that hard drive gets lost, stops working, or gets damaged, then you're in big trouble, right?
Mm, yeah.
So why not take your data and put it into the cloud, which is basically a distributed network in a way, and then your risk comes down. So all your eggs in one basket, that scenario you used, is one hard drive, one external hard drive. And then if you use something like Google or Microsoft 365 to save your documents, or even Dropbox, then your files are safer because, number one, they are not in your local vicinity. Mm. Somebody breaks into your house, it's safe. Your hard drive falls, you're in trouble. But this hard drive, we'll call it for hard drive in the cloud.
Yeah.
It does not fall as easy as you would have it at home.
Yeah.
So using cloud computing, actually, we are using it quite a lot now. I think we're even using it without realizing.
Mm.
Most of the online services we have, from social media or even WhatsApp, all of these services basically run in the cloud now. So I think almost 99% of all of the computing we are using runs off the cloud now. So the advantages for somebody sitting at home would be, if you put your documents in, for instance, a platform like Office 365, you are now even able to restore a version. So if I was typing a document from morning until now, I can say, at 11 o'clock, I had a brilliant idea that I deleted. Let me see if I can go back to that version at that time. And these are the kind of benefits you are getting now from cloud computing, because it's continuously saving my document as I type.
Yeah.
And if I need to restore to a particular point in time, I'm able to do that. So those are some of the benefits of doing that. Yeah.
So it makes sense, even if when you use it from home for your, I suppose, non-work stuff, if you have some stuff that you need to type, you know, do that, well, it kind of helps.
Exactly. And I've seen, for instance, cases where people use their mobile device.
Yeah.
They have all of their contacts on the mobile phone, right?
Yeah.
That mobile phone gets stolen, drops into water. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are using cloud services, those contacts are also synchronized into your cloud account.
Mm.
And all you need to do is to get another phone and you log in into that account, and it will restore all of those contacts back onto that device, onto that new device. So all of these are the kind of silent benefits of using the cloud.
Yeah.
And I know the people will always tell you, but it's also risky there.
Yes. Yes,
risk is everywhere.
Yeah.
it's a matter of balancing your risk and saying, okay, is it risky with me here at home or risk the cloud? So there's always risk everywhere, but we just need to balance it off. Yeah.
Yeah. You spoke about
the trade-off.
Yeah, it's a trade-off. You spoke about how, for example, you know, we are already using these things, but we are not aware, which made me think, is there some sort of resistance that people have to cloud computing, for example, as opposed to, you know, distributed or whatever, or really the take-up from people has been as expected?
Yeah, well, I think for the cloud computing side of things, distributed computing is very specific, I think, to specific tasks. So that's more specific. But on the cloud computing side, which is more generic and more accessible to even you know, you and me, there is definitely been some resistance. As we started off, we're asking each other, where is my data?
Yes.
What is a cloud?
Yeah.
Is it this white thing that floats in the sky? What is this cloud thing that we are talking about?
Yeah.
So as we have started to understand a little bit more and understand what goes on, we have kind of come to a point where the benefits are kind of starting to outweigh the risks in a way, in my opinion.
Mm.
And now we are understanding that this cloud is actually a data center in Midrand, where there are some bunch of servers there saving my work. And it's not just one machine. It's a lot of them. And in some good services, we even have geolocated servers.
Yeah.
So you would have the same data here in Africa, the same data in Europe and in the US and in Asia. So if something happens to the whole of Gauteng, my data is still safe in Europe and in Asia.
Mm.
So those are kind of some of the and by the way, the costs have also come down drastically.
Oh.
The cost of cloud computing has really dropped. for a few rands, 50 rand a month,
yeah,
or 60 rand a month, you can start accessing some of these services and start benefiting from a service that you would have never afforded before, because as we know, prices of computing keeps coming down while the power keeps increasing. So there are theories and perspectives to that. Yeah, so I think there was a bit of resistance before we really understood what we were dealing with.
Yeah.
And then I've also realized we get to a point where you are the only one who doesn't trust this thing. You might as well, if you can't beat them, join them. So you end up just saying, well, hey, if everybody's doing it, I'm not, there's safety numbers. So let me jump in and also utilize this thing.
I don't want to be left behind. Exactly. So here's the follow-up question on the question earlier. The follow-up says, I understand the cloud storage point of it. I was wondering if it's cheaper, for instance, to do cloud gaming on my entry-level laptop by a cloud gaming PC. I was wondering if it's cheaper, for instance, to do cloud gaming on my entry-level laptop by a cloud gaming PC, thereby AWS or not. I think AWS is that company, right?
Yeah, it's Amazon Web Services.
Yeah.
All right, so what happens is that for things like gaming, definitely you could set it up in the cloud. You could set up your computer just to access a server that you have set up in AWS and you are gaming from there. There are many advantages of doing that. There's latency. Latency is the amount of time it takes for commands and actions we do on a computer to respond.
Yeah.
So in gaming, that latency can mean you getting shot or, you know, doing something, you know, if you play games or driving.
Yeah.
So your response time is very critical. So if you are in a cloud, you are basically kind of in the internet.
Yeah.
So you are playing from the internet. So the risk of you, you know, losing out on time is reduced.
Mm.
But there's a trade-off.
Yes.
There's a cost to it. AWS is not free.
Yes.
It comes at a cost. The more power you need, the more bills you will accumulate. So you pay for the amount of memory you use, the amount of processing you use, the amount of storage you use.
Mm.
So if you build a very powerful machine, you are definitely going to have a very powerful bill coming at the end of the month. So that's the trade-off. And then if you build your own PC for gaming, you normally, it will be a once-off cost where you are pumping money into buying this super duper fast hardware, and then you have the great graphics and all of the interesting things, and you have good internet, you're good to go. So there's a trade-off. So either you pay for it upfront, or you pay it in incremental amounts during the whole month or the use. And the other thing I must also say, there is something called getting logged in into cloud services.
Okay.
So, I tell you right now, I use iCloud for saving my things.
Yeah.
And I'm at a point where I have over 2 terabytes of data in there.
Sure.
Do you think it's easy for me to move from there to
definitely not.
It's going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
So as you start, you know, utilizing it either at a personal level or at a business level, you get to a point where it is no longer feasible for you to come back because the cost of coming back has become greater than staying there.
Yeah.
So, they make sure it's a carrot and stick kind of thing.
Sure.
They make sure that you bite little while it's cheap. And then once you are really established in there, moving to another service or changing, Not always easy.
I was about to. How did you get to 2 terabytes? Like, that's a lot of dead space.
I'll answer that for you very quickly. I'm into photography. I have 13 plus years of photographs in there from the time my little girl was born up to now. I've been taking pictures and saving them into iCloud. And whenever I buy a new device, I just, you know, switch over and migrate to the new one and continue using that storage. So, it's easy to explain.
No wonder moving from there to another cloud space is it's not going to work out.
It's not going to be a good idea.
And you touched on the internet. I suppose you need stable internet, not this load shedding and down internet, especially if you're going to be doing gaming on the cloud.
Yeah, definitely. There are some services that are very sensitive to disconnections and so on. Loss of connectivity can be a challenge, especially for cloud computing, because you're not where your computing is happening. So the internet becomes your medium of connection between you and the service you're accessing. So when it disconnects, it's a bit of a challenge. But fortunately, most of these have also built the idea where you can kind of cache or save your data locally, and then during intervals, transmit it between. So if power goes out, for instance, you're working on a Word document, you won't lose things. But when you get reconnected, it will then sync whatever you're working on with the cloud. So there have been ways of kind of working around it. But if you're playing a game, my brother, which is real time, and your connectivity goes boop, you're done.
Especially Need for Speed, Need for Speed. You better make sure that
you better make sure you know what you're doing there. So you need to make sure you have a good fiber connection, preferably, and you have some sort of power backup, either you're on solar or you're on a UPS or whatever.
Yes, that makes sense. I've always seen these people when you're flying and they're busy on their laptops, because I suppose when you're flying, you're on flight mode. So I suppose they are relying on cloud computing, that whenever they now get to land and be in an internet place, it will sync whatever that they've been working on in the plane, especially if you're going to take a very long flight for 3-4 hours, instead of just sitting or sleeping or watching a movie, you could literally be pushing some work and then it would sync at some stage. That's cloud computing, eh?
That's part of it, because as long as you are needing internet to do the work, it's most likely running from a cloud-based service. But I must also say that connectivity is becoming ubiquitous now. I mean, everywhere you go, even on flights now, with Starlink and all of these things coming, you have super, super high-speed internet connectivity in the air as well.
Sure.
So you pay a little bit for it, but it's happening and it's possible. So that's a remarkable achievement. And I must say, the cloud computing has really changed a lot of things. I mean, all you need now is a YouTube video on how to set up AWS, and you can start doing some interesting things, very interesting things.
I've got a question, but I'm going to park it for the last just the last question, just around as well. Let's talk pros and cons. How would you summarize both pros and cons, I suppose, for cloud computing, and what are the pros and cons for distributed computing?
All right. So if we start with the cloud computing, I think scalability is always a pro.
I can
start with one little server right now,
yeah,
and in the next 3 hours I could have built 10 of them,
yeah,
which would be difficult to do physically.
Yeah,
if I was setting up physical servers, then it would take more time. But here it's a click of a button, and you put in a few, you know, requirements here and there, and the cloud builds it, because it's already, the infrastructure is already there.
Yeah.
So just provisioning that space in the cloud, and it kind of works. And then it's also kind of cost effective in a way, because you are doing pay as you go. Most of them kind of work on a pay as you go. So the less you use, the less you pay. The more you pay, the more you use, the more you pay. So that becomes quite an efficient model. And then I think we have also kind of witnessed in some places, government services that go offline at peak use. These days with the cloud, you could configure it to say, look, if we have 10 people connecting, I just need one server.
Yeah.
We have another 10 connecting, please add another extra server.
Yeah.
So for every 10 people that connect, I want you to provision another server. So that scalability is really, really a good thing, because you could tell it, oh, look here, if we have 1 million people out of a service that normally uses 10 people, during that time when you have 1 million, please just grow the service. I don't want to be offline. I want you to just allow me to have all of these resources for 1 million people, to serve 1 million people. And then after that, I want you to scale back to the 10 that I normally receive during a daily. So you are not owning the actual hardware. You are renting the service.
Yeah.
You are renting the computing resource. So that kind of helps a lot with the pros. I think that's part of it. And then, of course, you can now work from anywhere. Accessibility is a wonderful thing. As you fly, as you're at the beach, you can now take your computer with you, and you sit and you're working. And of course, cons, dependency on the provider. We've had issues where we had internet connectivity issues in South Africa, where some ship broke a cable somewhere off the coast of somewhere.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Office 365 is not acceptable.
Yeah.
Some of our banks go offline, because most of our big utilities now use computing, cloud computing. So so those are some of the, you are running away from all eggs in one basket, but you're creating another form of all eggs in one basket. And if you don't have internet connection, Bye-bye.
Bye-bye to you, and yes.
Then, yeah, and then there are serious security and privacy concerns as well.
Yes, yes.
Because one little misconfiguration in such a service, you can imagine the amount of data that can go, things can get really, really bad. And then the other one that I mentioned is, of course, vendor lock-in. That's what they call it, where now you are locked in with the provider. It's not easy for you to change because of that. So that's on the cloud side. Then on the distributed computing, the pros for that is the high performance I mentioned. Distributed systems use what we call parallel processing. Like I mentioned, one tailor versus 10 tailors. The task can move quite fast.
Yeah.
Then the fault tolerance as well, where you are able to, if one part of the system breaks, you are able to recover without too much damage. And then, of course, they are also very flexible. You can change what you need on those distributed systems quite easily. So those are the pros. Then the cons, of course, they are very complex. Distributed computing is not easy. For you to be able to tell which machine distributed task is easier said than actually done. You need to have a system that is able to distribute this task among the different machines. And then, of course, maintenance comes into play. And then consistency. These are kind of computer science things, but I think I'm trying to explain them as simply as I can.
Yeah.
And then communication between the different nodes can also become a bottleneck. So if you have a big job that are running between computers, the connectivity between them can actually become a bottleneck. Mm. Of course, we know now we have big networks that are coming up, 100 gigs per second networks. We used to have when you had a gig, it was a good network, but now we can go up to 1,000 gig, 100 gig, and a terabyte of communication. So all of these things are making it things easier. But those are some of the pros and cons of the two systems and how they affect us. Yeah, but I'll tell your listeners that... Don't shy away from some of these, because the benefits, like I mentioned, far outweigh the risks and not having access to them. You get left behind, and sometimes that's a bad thing.
Now when things go south and they just switch off like they normally do, what is normally the best way? How do you diagnose the problem precisely in distributed computing? And like you said, it's a pretty complicated one, but things go south and they just switch off. So what do we do? And I'm asking because you find that with some IT people, they will tell you that reboot. And you're like, but I've done that. Like, okay, did you switch off that? Exactly.
I think from my experience, understanding what has gone wrong is half the problem solved.
Yeah.
So you need to be sure what you think has caused the problem and what you think you're solving is actually the problem.
Yes.
For instance, if it's internet that has gone down.
Yeah.
You can always test that by connecting from another network. So, for instance, if we're in a building and it's not working, you try and use your mobile data and see if you still have access to the same thing. And if it's not working, then okay, the problem is bigger and so on. So your troubleshooting logic is very important. You need to be able to start saying, okay, so now everything has just stopped working. What is wrong? Is it my machine?
Yeah.
Then try another device. If you have a colleague, go sit next to them and say, okay, are you able to access? Am I the only one who's affected? Is it all of us?
Yeah.
The answers to those questions help guide how the problem is then solved.
Sure.
So you need to have a plan B. For instance, I'll just give this easy tip that I normally, in my office, we have Office 365, for instance.
Yeah.
And we always choose the option that says, please keep a copy of all of these documents on my local machine. So that if something happens, we get disconnected from the internet or something goes wrong, we have the same document sitting on your machine.
Yeah.
And you can continue working.
Yeah.
And when we are reconnected, then the synchronization will take place. So you need to make sure you kind of have that way of doing things. And then the wise words you mentioned at the beginning, all eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
If you are working on a very critical document, I've always said to my people, please email it to yourself even.
Sure.
So that if something goes wrong, you can still access your email and at least have a copy of the document, because things have happened. It's not all gold and roses. We have had cases where even Office 365 has failed on us and things have happened that are not planned have happened. So you can never have too much backup, as we say.
Yeah. How do we deal with the anxiety of things being down? You know, I'm now thinking about the recent case that you spoke about. We've seen how Facebook, for example, has had a couple of hiccups here and there over the last year or so. How do we deal with that? Particularly, I suppose, we as users, as opposed to yourselves, because you would be more, I suppose, relaxed because you know, okay, you know, what's the logic? What do I need to follow? But we would be shouting at you like, we want this thing up. So how do we deal with that anxiety?
I think there are two perspectives of this one.
Yeah.
So from a user perspective, anxiety will definitely come when things are not working and you have a deadline and something is needed and it's not responding as fast as you need it to, or it's not even working. That anxiety will be there. But what I've learned in both scenarios, and even also for the administrators on the IT side of things, what I've learned, when you panic, you make it worse, whatever it is. So even where you're going to find a solution and think of some way of another way of solving the problem, when you panic, you have already lost the game. So panic is your worst enemy in such cases. And anxiety, you don't want that anxiety to then cripple you to a point where you fail to even think of. I mean, we just that when technology takes over, sometimes we even stop thinking.
Yeah.
There are cases where the laptop stops working, but you still have a paper and pen. You can still write things down and continue living and not just throw your hands up in the air. But all of these things only help when you are calm and then you say, okay, this has happened. What can I do? Then the other thing that has also helped, sometimes it pays to know that it is what it is.
Mm.
It's offline. I have to just wait until it's back. There's nothing I can do. No amount of shouting or crying will make this thing start working again.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So we need to then develop those coping mechanisms, especially when some of these aspects are not in our control or in our hands.
Yeah. You know, when we were having our meeting, I think it must be last year or late part of last year, you know, as broadcasters, I mean, we love what we do. We always want to make sure it goes out as clear, as beautiful, as crystal as it can be. And there's moments where things are down here and you feel like, yo. So we were told in the meeting that there's certain things that are outside of your control. You know, as much as you love broadcasting, you love doing this work, you know, but just relax. And I'm asking because it's very hard at that moment. You realize that you've been broadcasting for an hour. You've been talking to yourself. No one can hear you. Internet is down. So you're not even aware that you're talking to yourself. And so when you get feedback, hey, Baba, you've been talking to yourself. You're like, I wish I can just die right there. For an hour, I've been talking to myself. Like, it becomes so difficult. That's what I'm saying. The anxiety that comes with things that are down on the internet or things that are down from a machine point of view, you know, how do we deal with those things? But like you said, you panic, you make things even worse. So just... you know, don't panic at all. And then my last one, as I let you go there, my leader, is... with the way internet and with the way technology, let me put it like that, is advancing, are you not afraid? Because now, honestly, I sit behind this mic and I talk to people like yourself. I'm like, siyachona apa, the world is coming to an end very soon because this thing seems to be controlling us more than us controlling it. It's just getting to a point. So as someone who is a Christian, you know, when you look at technological advancement, do they not somehow just make you feel, Christ is really coming very soon because, wow.
No, I'll quickly tell you that there are some aspects of technology that are really scary. I want to tell you, artificial intelligence is one of the most scary things I've seen in my life. I use it, I like it, but it is always at the back of my mind that we are playing with something that has the potential of of causing a lot of damage to how we do things.
Yeah.
And if you see... we're getting to a point where you can't believe anything you see, you can't believe anything you hear, you can't believe anything you read, because you don't know where it's coming from. I mean, the computers are writing for us. They are creating images out of thin air. I can take this conversation we are having, feed it into a computer, and I can have it say anything I want. And you will not be able to tell whether it's you or the computer that said it. So if we have people who have ulterior motives, they're getting the perfect tools for doing that. Yeah. And as a Christian, I'm saying we have an opportunity and a risk in the same thing. Because the opportunity, we are now able to do way more than we were ever able to do before. I have people who listen to this who I will never meet, but because of technology, it's possible. And then you are also looking at the risk of things going wrong, and it's a scary world. But the Christ has not given us a spirit of fear.
Definitely.
So we need to also keep a balance to know that at the end of the day, our safety and our well-being is in God's hands.
Yes, that's true. Thank you so much, Malida. What a way to just end it. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.